Communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharisto, the giving of thanks, this love meal that we're about to receive in the presence of God today. I want to thank you so much for your giving. It's been a hallmark of this ministry down through the years. I talked to someone recently that visited our church, and they were amazed that we were basically a one offering situation here, that we believe that the Lord is going to. They were equally shocked that so many people give so faithfully that we don't have to just keep an emphasis there. We put the emphasis on the gospel and upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want it to stay that way. If you're not faithful, I pray you would pray about it, think about it. Amen. Is your soul being fed? Is this where God has set you and placed you? And I just pray that you'll consider making those kind of commitments. Sean and I have discussed a membership situation, and we need to get together on that as I'm getting caught up and he's getting caught up, and we can kind of use some other patterns as a rough draft. We used to have a membership, but we want to make it known what a commitment means, and let you know it's not a political thing, and it's not a club, joining a club, and you don't kicked out if you don't do this or that. It's not about that. It's about coming to a place of heart commitment, where we make heart commitments to the Lord's work, to the Lord's and to one another. It's essential that we make commitments not to just to meet in the same place, but to actually make commitments to each other. Amen? Amen? That we can actually be the church that God has called us to be. Without those commitments, if someone gave us the money for a down payment to a contractor to build a building in the future, we couldn't even get a commercial loan unless we had an active membership. So it's essential for many things to happen to put that into place. But it won't be one of those things that is just legalistic. It'll be something that involves a spiritual commitment to the Lord. And if we make those commitments, what I'm praying about is being able to stay free and to give the rest of my life into the ministry of the gospel, to represent this church anywhere and everywhere that I go, just like I used to. And January will tell the tale on that. We've got 6 months to grow, and we believe in the next 6 months we're going to grow, and that God is going to bless us to grow and bless us to be a blessing. And so I actually can't do anything for 6 months, or they'll dig into my check. And how many know you can't just live on Social Security alone? Anybody know that? I mean, if you take it early, and I took it early, they took 25% back, and so we're just going to try to move in those areas of not actual taxable income. It's legal. It's nothing hid from them, and that way help to subsidize until in January. We'll reassess everything then. I'm capable of working part-time and not being near as drug out as I was before. I don't know how we survived the last 12 years of me working, but I was working 5 days a week. It went to 6 and threatened to go to 7, and the timing of this change has just been so important and crucial and critical. But I'm ready to run for Jesus right now. And there's a lot of distractions when we get in, and for the first time in all these years set up, there seems like there's been more setbacks, discouragements, distractions now than there has been recently, because the devil sees our potential. He knows what this ministry is capable of accomplishing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the last days, and I believe last day ministries are going to be raised up. Last day ministries, those with a vision and an understanding of what these days represented, what the church should be doing in these last days, those that can sound the alarm, those that can blow the trumpet in Zion, those that can open the eyes of my people to the times that they are living and alert them and awake them, saith God. Yea, those ministries have been pushed into the background, but I, the Lord, will bring them to the forefront in these last days, and I will bring up a prophetic ministry, and I will send them forth with my message, yea, to be ready. Ready, to be ready, to be ready, for the Son of Man cometh soon, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to do this, so we're not begging, pleading, belly aching today. Hallelujah. This is going to be not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And doors are going to open for ministries that have been kind of segregated and set aside. Amen. Those ministries God is going to anoint and bring to the forefront. We're going to hear a prophetic message before Jesus comes again. John the Baptist came. Amen. A prophet was sent to herald his coming that when he came to this earth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Prophetic ministry preceded Jesus beginning his public ministry. Amen. And I'm telling you, God's going to raise up that ministry again. As sure as I'm standing here, you're going to start hearing about the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And amen. And a sense of urgency is going to grip us to get in the harvest while it is day, for the night cometh when no man shall work. Praise God. So I'm just grateful. If John saw the radio station we're on, WMAF, and it's a tiny little station in a tiny little town. Amen. And I've never been there, but I knew it wasn't a big station. But you know, when we traveled to Pensacola for the funeral, I heard WMAF strong and clear out on the interstate system. So everybody traveling between Pensacola and Panama City and Lake City and Jacksonville on that Interstate 10, those people and those truckers that go back and forth. And I know those truckers got to be tuned in. You know why? Because, amen, there's a lot of, I'm talking about the classic country music. I'm talking about the, you know, the my dog died, my pickup truck broke down, and my woman's gone music. Can you say? I know them truckers got it tuned in. We got a young man back there shaking his head. Amen. Have you ever heard of Buddy Rich? I can tell you're not a country music fan. Have you ever heard of Buddy Rich? Well, he was a drummer extraordinaire. And when he was dying, but he loved big band drumming and jazz type of drumming. And on his way in for surgery, before he died, a friend went with him as far as the doors of the operating room. He died behind there. And he just asked him, he said, Buddy, are you in any pain? And all drugged and ready for surgery, he said, only when I hear country music. So you either like it or you don't like it. Can you say amen? But I like Southern gospel, and I like some of the old gospel quartet songs. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. You don't hear that in the contemporary very much, but you hear it on that station. So we got the country music crowd, classic country, and the gospel quartet, Southern gospel crowd, and then we come in on that station. And I pray those truckers going up and down. We had a revival in Kentucky because a trucker got 21 tapes of this ministry. Amen. Took it home to a church that had split, and they had shut the door, and everybody got discouraged, and he got rejuvenated. He got 21 tapes in a paper bag out in Texas, amen, of this ministry. Another trucker gave him 21 tapes of when we were at the Holy Church of God. He got back, and he was so turned on, his wife started listening with him, and she called some of the people of the church because they'd padlocked the church. They had a big thing. The pastor had failed and discouraged them all, and they all come to their house and started having church in their house, and they played those tapes for their services. She was down in her back. Bedfast. Amen. One night while they were listening to the tapes, they'd all laid hands on her, and she got up well. Praise God. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Then I get a phone call and said, did you know that you were our pastor for the last 6 weeks? I said, no, I didn't. And she told me the story over the phone and said, everyone got encouraged. We prayed. God sent us a man of God and his precious wife. We've unpadlocked the church. We've opened the doors. It's not for sale anymore. I'm healed. My husband's restored. We're back on fire for the Lord. And we want to thank you for your ministry. That's what God does. Amen. When all this other stuff to distract us is happening, God's out there doing big things with a little church and a little radio station now. Amen. But that radio station is going into the United Kingdom. Amen. Why do you know that? Because when we started announcing going to our website, the downloads begin to pick up in other nations. And that's pretty incredible to me because they must have heard WMAF, amen, because they're downloading in the United Kingdom and they're downloading in Borneo and places they've come to our website, rather, in places that I would never dream in my life. But God is sending his word. He said he'd raise up ministries in these last days that understand the times and know what to preach to God's people to alert us and to make us aware. Amen. I believe that's happening through this little ministry. We're part of that process that God is doing. Praise God. So we want to thank you for your giving. We pray that we could get a little more organized in the way we do things so that we can, when the doors come open, that we'll be ready to step through them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And I want to thank Brother Sean who fills in for me right now because of Sean's ministry. Pray for Sean because I know he gets attacked. Because of his ministry here, it frees me up. If someone asked me to come and preach, amen, next Sunday or the next Sunday, and I can arrange it around Sean's schedule. I can arrange it with Sean, and Sean can stand and do the work that God has called him to do here. I have a backup. I have someone that I can call my armor bearer here, because God has raised up someone in our midst, not someone from outside that don't love us, not part of us, don't care about, but someone from right here, amen, within our midst. And God has raised him up, and I'm ready, Sean, should the door open. What is about to happen is what I have prepared thee for. What you have been waiting for and praying for, and I have been preparing you for. My son ministered for 3 years. Only 3 years. Because in the fullness of time he began it. And look what I accomplished in 3 short years. It's still going on. And it will never stop reaching and touching. I will do a quick work in this last day, for nothing short of a quick work will accomplish my purpose. Be thee therefore ready when the doors come open to step through by faith. For I have gone before thee, and I will be with thee, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise in this room today. I want us to do something before we receive the offering. This service is so off kilter. We're gonna just touch some highlights and go to communion today. I want you to stretch your hand toward Sean today, and I want you to pray for him and with him. I believe if he's going to stand with me and fill in for me, that the enemy's going to hate him just like he hates me. And he's going to face battles that are very, very strong simply because of a mantle that has fallen upon him of anointing. And because of those strong battles, I want God's grace that has sustained me down through these years to rest heavily upon Sean today. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is intercession, so let's just join her right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, the mantle is upon my brother. I didn't place it there. I can't take mantles and place them here and place them there. But Lord, you can. You can, and you have. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for the grace that is sufficient, that is perfected in weakness, the strength that comes through that grace that is only perfected in weakness, be upon my brother today. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Father, and that it rests heavily upon him for the glory and the honor of God. Father, strengthen him that the preaching may be made fully known. For Father, I've had an opportunity to observe the development of the ministry in Sean, and it is real and it is from you, Father. And Father, it fits into what you're saying and doing in these last days. Father, restore unto him anything that the enemy has taken from him. In the name of Jesus, and Father, let this quick work, let him be a participant in this quick work that you're doing right now in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Father, rest so heavily upon him, Father, that nothing will be able to take him back or discourage him in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. And Father, give us souls as you have promised through the anointing. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, just receive that. This is the Lord. I will teach thee, I will lead thee, I will uphold thee with my right hand. Yea, thou hast nothing to fear, for I am with thee, even in trouble, even in trial, even in temptation. I am with thee. I have never taken my hand from thee, and I never will, saith the Lord. Somebody give God praise today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, bless this offering. We receive it to the glory and the honor of our God and for your kingdom work in the name of Jesus. And everybody will receive the attached blessing said. Amen and amen. There's a blessing attached to giving today. So give as God has blessed you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sean, for receiving that. Thank you, Brother Doug, for the website and the Sunday morning broadcast that is being heard this morning. We're going to hear more and more good reports from that. I am absolutely certain. Praise the Lord. I'm going to move without reading all of the text today in just a moment. I want to literally just touch some highlights here today before we're sitting. God has done so much in this service. We couldn't just get into the normal preaching service. Let me read to you from John 13, verse 1. And there, this whole 13th chapter of John is going to lead Jesus into what we're about to celebrate here today. It's going to lead him into the Last Supper, which became the Lord's Supper, which became what Paul used as a pattern for Holy Communion for the church, even into the 21st century. But so much is in the first verse of the 13th chapter of St. John, because they're going to receive a Passover meal. I want you to know that there was a meal eaten before Jesus took the cup and the bread and began the part that we're going to zero in on today, and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, and this is my body, which is broken for you." That he didn't just do that like we're about to do it. They were enjoying the Passover meal. One thing we want to do one Sunday when we get all our ducks in a row, and that is to have a table set up here from over in the other place, and we're going to have enough volunteers. If we don't have enough men, we'll draft some of the ladies. Amen. But we're going to fill the table with the people that were present for that meal. Amen. They're going to be. You can bring a bathrobe, whatever it is. We'll dress you up for the occasion. But we're going to get people seated at that table, and we're going to go through the Passover meal to the point where Jesus had the communion service. I think it'd be great to see what the different things they did and the significance, and to explain as we go through it what each one of those things meant to them as people of the covenant. We need to understand that we have a legacy. Amen. Jesus, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And if you don't understand the Passover, you won't understand so much about his sacrifice on the cross. Can you say amen? Amen. If you don't understand the Jewish Passover meal, you won't understand Holy Communion completely. And you won't even understand the cross completely until you do. Because all of those types and foreshadows help us understand the reality and the fulfillment in Jesus Christ. That's why the Old Testament is essential to understanding the New Testament properly. I've heard some people think the Old Testament's not relevant, and they got into kind of Pauline doctrine where only Paul's writings have the new revelation. Everything else is not important or not that important anymore. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Jesus and Paul constantly quoted excerpts from the Old Testament themselves to explain what they were bringing forth by revelation in the New Testament. So how many would like to just see that Passover meal as it was served and to the point where Jesus absolutely received that communion? I saw Zola Levitt do that one time. His son has taken over that broadcast, but it was pretty incredible to me to see that meal as it progressed and to see what they were seeing and what they understood about Holy Communion. Holy Communion's kind of like a little comma in some church services now. We know we're supposed to observe it, so we have it on given times, but we just sing the songs. We try to get through it because we got a lot more to accomplish. We grab the bread, we drink the cup, and we don't really focus on him like we should. We don't really grasp and understand what it means when we publicly declare, amen, that through his broken body and his shed blood, we have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Amen. And we show his death. Publicly declare it, proclaim it literally, till he come. Can you say amen? So we'd like to do that sometime. This 13th chapter of John in particular, it's going to begin with this Passover feast. Amen. It's going to continue to his washing their feet. Amen. As the servant king. And then it's going to begin really with washing their feet, move into that Passover meal, and then from that meal, straightforward to the cross. So everything that's going to happen in the beginning of John 13 is going to flow into not just the week of his passion, his entry in Jerusalem, his triumphant entry into Jerusalem, amen, was that passion week that led up to his crucifixion. This verse of scripture is narrowing that down now to the culmination of all that had been prophesied and all that had been declared. Amen. All of it was coming down into this week. And this verse of scripture is so important in verse 1, because it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he would depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Everybody say, he loved them until the end. Say that again. He loved them until the end. I'm going to read that from the New International. I just wanted this jotted down today. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world, go to the Father, just like the King James. He loved his own who were in the world, and he showed them. Because remember, what he's going to communicate is not through telling them anymore. He was telling them over and over that he loved them. Now he's going to do more than tell them about God's love and about his love for them. He's going to show them. He's going to begin by washing their feet. Can you say, man? I've often said, if you're going to be a pastor to God's people, you need more than a pulpit. You need more than a nice suit. You need more than a microphone. Amen. You need more than a PhD from a theological seminary. You need more than a holy anointing. You need more, amen, than a mandate from God to preach the gospel. You need a basin and a towel. Jesus told those men who would become the pattern for all ministry, by example, he said, I want you to go and do to others what I'm doing to you right now. So he didn't talk love, folks. He pulled off their sandals, got a basin and a towel, and got down before those poor old disciples and weary disciples, and he pulled off their sandals, and he started washing their feet and drying them. And when they got to Simon Peter, he jerked his feet back and said, you shouldn't be doing that to me. I should be doing that to you. And Jesus said, Peter, if you don't let me do this to you, if you don't let me demonstrate my love, show forth my love, the strength of it, the power of it, the condescending humility of it, you don't have any part in me. And when Peter realized that Jesus was showing them an example, amen, and that God was condescending. Listen, God was going to do more than wash the feet of men. God was going to take the place of sinful men upon the cross. And literally, listen, God was going to do it. If you think Jesus wasn't God, you need to go back to Theology 101. His name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. To wit, the scripture said God was in Jesus Christ on the cross, reconciling the world. Listen, church, a good man didn't just die on that cross, but the second person of the Godhead took on flesh so he could die on that cross for us. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Is a wonderful sentiment, but it's not enough to really take hold of what happened, because it wasn't just the king of the earth or a great king of the universe. This was the creator of the universe. Amen. Amen? Who am I that my own God who created me, that I have sinned against, rebelled against, blasphemed, deserving of his punishment and wrath, who am I that he would condescend to come down and take on flesh so that he could do what? So that he could go to the cross, hang on it, and die for my sins. Who am I? Who am I? Amazing love. How can this be that thou, my God, would die for me? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And people wonder why we get romantic, amen, about Jesus. And we talk about loving God in mushy terms, amen? And they wonder why missionaries give their heart to the Lord and are willing to lay down their life for the Lord, the gospel would have never gotten into the world as far as it has if it wasn't for the sacrifice of men and women that were willing to lay down their lives so others could know Jesus Christ. And they did it willingly and they did it joyfully. And I've often said there's not only very few people anymore that would lay down their life for him. Amen. There's not too many people that will even live their life for him. And we need that passion back. The only way I know to get it back is to present him again in the glory of his passion, the glory of his sacrifice, and pray that the flames of that first love will be kindled in the heart. And if they've ever been there, if they'd be rekindled in the heart. Amen? Amen. Without passion, the gospel isn't believable. Anything this great cannot be proclaimed without passion, cannot be lived without passion. Can you say, man, we can't just do our thing 6 days a week and come to church on Sunday and listen to the people sing. I come to appreciate you guys. I was in a church with, you know, there was a whole lot of people in this funeral because they had worked in this church for years. By the way, my uncle was one of those holdouts to salvation, my wife's uncle. Amen. He was a military man, and he was a battle-hardened soldier, and he lived a tough life, and it was tough on my wife's aunt, who was a Christian and prayed, and he wasn't a Christian. He never got in the way of her going to church, never got in the way of her faith. He knew it was real, but he never wanted to serve God. So they were not one in that sense. He never served God with her, and year after year after year after year, she prayed for his salvation. While he was in Vietnam, she prayed God would protect him because he was lost more than just not losing her husband. 60,000 young men died in Vietnam. She prayed especially for him, not just so she wouldn't be widowed, but especially because he would be lost if he didn't come to Christ. And she prayed every church she was in. She asked them to intercede. And year after year, he's a man's man. He's got this military, battle-hardened attitude. And he just went his way. And the way he came to God is so extraordinary. Amen. One night at midnight, laying in bed asleep. Amen. Suddenly, he was awakened out of his sleep, got out of bed, woke up my wife's aunt, and said, Honey, I've got to get right with God. So if you're praying for somebody and it's been years and years and they're hardened and independent and it looked like there's no crack in the wall, God don't need no crack in the wall to bring the wall down. Amen. Somebody give him praise. Amen. I said, God don't need no crack in the wall to make it fall down flat. Sometimes we pray and look for cracks in the walls, amen, of our Jerichos. God don't need no crack in no wall. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. When they blew the trumpet and shouted victory, it fell down flat. Hallelujah. Things can happen suddenly and quickly in your families and my family, praise God. I'm expecting some walls to fall down flat suddenly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he became a man of God. Amen. A real, genuine man of God. Hallelujah. And they were active in church for 17 years. So the church was just full of people. But one thing I come to appreciate about you guys, when they started praising God in song for the funeral songs, you know, the church didn't enter in with them. They just watched. And I thought, boy, if they were here singing like that, with that great sound system and singing to the top of their lungs like that, people in this audience would be worshiping God. It just made me appreciate you, because we've learned that this is not a spectator thing. We don't come to watch people sing, watch people preach, watch people do special. We come, amen, to praise the Lord, participate. Hallelujah. And I just want you to know I appreciated you. Praise God. Appreciated the little church down here. Amen, because it's not going to stay this way if we keep doing what we're doing for Jesus Christ. There's no doubt about it. We'll get souls coming into the kingdom of God. I know that God is raising us up for this last day. Amen. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. He now showed them, literally the King James, loved them to the end. New International, I like this because it captures all that this is about from this point forward in the Bible. He showed them the full extent of his love. Amen? He showed, everybody say he showed them. He'd been telling them. He told them, the Father loves you. Amen. The Father loves you. You should pray. Amen. I do not say that I'll pray for you, for the Father himself loveth thee. He told them over and over and over again about the Father's love. But right now, what he's going to do is show the full extent of the Father's love and of his love. And he begins it by doing something that it just seems so out of, we're looking for the mystical instead of the practical. But he said, these people are tired. They're wore out. We've been traveling long distances. And he got down, got a basin. He got a towel. And he removed the sandals from the feet of his disciples. And he began to wash their feet. Can you say amen? It went from there and progressed to the eating the Passover together and saying, I've longed. Now, he knew his hour was come. This was it. The last time he was going to spend, he said, I'm going to show you the full extent of my love. Amen. And it was up close and personal. Everybody say it was up close and personal. Amen. It was Jesus, our servant king. You know what it says about Isaiah 53, which is commonly called the gospel in the Old Testament? Amen. Because it's about his passion on the cross. Amen. It's about everything he would accomplish on the cross. Who hath believed our report? To whom is that saving arm of God revealed? Amen. Amen. When we saw him, there's nothing that we should desire him, but we considered him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Amen. But surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. Amen. Amen. And God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. The iniquity of us all. In that beautiful verse of scripture, Isaiah 53, amen, the heading in most referenced Bible says the suffering servant. Amen. Don't you love the mind of Christ? I've seen people try to claim the mind of Christ that didn't even know what it was. They thought because they had a couple of revelations, could talk in tongues, maybe prophesy, amen, God had shown them something. Let this mind be in you, that we'd get out there and become like some mystic somewhere. No, that has nothing to do with the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of himself no reputation. That kills a whole lot of people's claim to the mind of Christ, don't it? Made of himself no reputation. It's incredible to be, he said, though he thought it not robbery, since it wasn't robbery, to be called equal with God, the second person of the Godhead. Can you say amen? Yet he made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant. Everybody say he got down on his hands and knees and washed the feet of men, and then he let himself be nailed to a cross. Amen, as a humble servant, and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And how does God view that attitude and those actions to really communicate his love? How does God look at that humility? You see preachers that claim great anointings, but you can't see them. I cannot fathom seeing them with a basin and towel. I can't see them coming to the poorest person in their church and removing their shoes and washing their feet to show the full extent of God's love. I can see them inviting the person who writes the biggest check to lunch. I went to a church one time years and years before I became a pastor, and we were in between churches and our tithe had built up, and I went to a church and I just felt like I need to get this in God's work. It's accumulated. So it wasn't a whole lot, but it was more than your weekly amount. You know, it had built up a little bit. So I just wrote that check out and threw it in, and I thought nothing of it, because you know, God is the one that blesses you for that. And the pastor didn't know me from Adam's house cat. And I am sure there were people in that church that gave every single week, amen, the best that they could do. I'm sure there was people on Social Security, and I've come to appreciate that now, amen, since I'm on it myself, amen. I'm sure there's people that wrote out of their need sometimes, amen, to keep that church going. But suddenly I come in, wrote this, you know, better than average check, I suppose, amen, and the pastor came up to me after the service and invited me to lunch. Because someone had come and told him the. And you know what he just did? He just revealed to me that he didn't get it. He didn't understand. Amen. He was showing respect to persons because of what I was able to give. Listen, Jesus got down. Amen. Condescended. Took on himself the form of a servant. Amen. It wasn't this big you, little me. There's no, listen, nobody is a nobody in the kingdom of God. Everybody is a somebody in the kingdom of God. And I'm going to make another statement. Little is much when God is in it. Can you say, that's not a, that is not a scripture, but it is biblically supported all throughout the Bible. When a widow woman gives two mites, but it's the best offering she could give. Amen. They were all giving that day. And you know who Jesus honored? Do you know of anybody else that got honored that day? And I'm sure there were some big shots that could write a big check that didn't do without nothing to do it. Amen. There was no sacrifice in it. Did you know there are people that could write us a $100,000 check and write it off on their taxes? And not only not... And did you know some? There are people could write a $10,000 check today and go out and eat prime rib tonight. They wouldn't have to go eat hamburgers because there's no sacrifice in that. God looks at things. Boy, I'm glad he's that way. Amen. See, there's a lot of people can preach the gospel better, but there's nobody can preach a better gospel. So I'm going to give him my very best. And I don't compete or compare with anybody. I'm just going to do my best. And you know what God does? When he sees it's your best, it may not be near as good as somebody else's. But when he sees it's your best, he will bless you. Can you say amen? In spite of all, God has blessed me down through the years. Amen. I represent the blessing of the Lord. I mean, if nothing else, the health that he's given me in my body. Praise God. He's blessed my marriage to outlast the pressure. And believe me, there's been pressure on our home. But I'm in love with my wife. Amen. And she says she's in love with me. I think that's incredible after all of these years. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I really do. 46 years. I'm gonna say glory to God. I don't even take that for granted. Amen. I want to make it all the way to the end till death do us part. And I want to demonstrate if two people commit themselves to Jesus Christ, two weak people, flawed people, faulty people, but people who commit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, God will take you through. Amen. Everything that comes against you in life, He will give you victory. Can you say amen? He will keep what you commit to Him against that day. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for the God of the second chance. Thank God for the God that can restore what the enemy's taken from you. But thank God for the God that can keep the enemy from taking it from you. Hallelujah. He still exists. Amen. By the way, you don't have to fail to have grace extended to you. Grace comes to you when you're weak enough to admit your need. And I admit that every single day of my life. But God is good. He showed them the full extent of His love. He said, this is it. This is the last time I'm going to be with them before the resurrection. This is the last time, amen, before I ascend after the resurrection. This is the last intimate meal we're going to eat together until we eat it in my Father's house. Can you say amen? So I want to show them the full extent of the Father's love. I want to show them the full extent of my love. And I'm going to begin by disrobing my outer garment, getting down on my knees, getting a basin and towel, removing their sandals, and starting to minister to them. He made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself. Let this mind be in you, which was what? Also in Christ the Lord. And took on himself the form of a servant. I remember Carl Strader, just after they had built the Carpenter's Home Church, and it was the biggest mega church in our area at the time. But I remember him invited to a church that was running 20,000 people. And before that church grew to 10,000, and he said he walked in with some other ministers that had been invited to a conference there. And the pastor of that church was seated back in his chair, had his leg propped up, you know. And when they walked in, he said, you know, with a proud attitude, "What do you boys want to know about church building? In other words, look what I have accomplished." Amen. I don't care how much anointing, how well the person preaches or organizes, that is not representative of the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ the Lord. I've heard people claim that because they got revelations or but they never took the servant attitude. Amen. They actually presented themselves above everyone else and usurped that authority through that, and sometimes even a spirit of control, because people looked to them as a spiritual somebody, a way up, and put them on a pedestal, and they used that position. Jesus was more than pedestal. Jesus was set up by God on a throne on high. Amen. He left his throne in glory. Thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, but humbled himself and was obedient even and took on himself the form of a servant. And you don't see it any more clearly the beginning of that portrayed, he loved them to the fullest extent. He showed them the love of God to the fullest extent. When he took the basin, he took the towel, and Peter said, I should be doing this to you. He said, listen, if you don't let me do this to you, you have no part in me. You don't comprehend me. You don't get it. You do not understand the love of God. Amen? And Peter said, then not just my feet, Lord, my head and my face and my hands. Bathe me. Just bathe me in this love. And then he sat down and shared the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. That is the standard. They ate the Passover meal. And he said, I've longed to eat this meal with you. Isn't it incredible? He's longing to eat a meal with them that represents his tortured death on the cross. And he said, this is the climax of his coming to the earth. And he said, I've longed to eat this meal with you. And for the joy that was set before him, my Bible said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising not just the pain, but the shame. You know how hard it was for Jesus to make the decision once and for all to go to that cross? That decision was made in heaven before he came. He's the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. But I want you to know when he took on flesh, that flesh had to be made subject to the God who inhabited that body. Amen? And in Gethsemane, you could see the humanity of Jesus Christ. It wasn't easy when he prayed in that garden. When he prayed in that garden, the Bible said his sweat became as great drops of blood. When I first read that, I could see great droplets of sweat, big as if you were dripping blood. But the actual understanding of that medically is that just inside the skin, there are capillaries. And when those capillaries, because of the pressure he was under, those capillaries begin to break, and as he sweat, blood and sweat mixed together, and a reddish brown came out on his skin and on his face. And his sweat became as great drops of blood. The pressure was on him so much on the cross that a sack of water began to build around his heart. So when they pierced him, water and blood flowed out. The pressure of it all. The Bible said the agony of Gethsemane was to the point that he felt as if he were literally dying. And his aversion wasn't just the pain. The holy God of eternity, he that knew no sin, nobody else in heaven or earth, in the realm of man could say that he was without sin. But Jesus, he, the immaculate Son of the living God, who never sinned and never knew sin, tempted as we are, yet without sin. He that knew no sin was going to become sin, treated as if he had sinned, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is what he had the aversion. See, we don't understand the holiness of God. That shame of hanging. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He became a what? A curse for us. He didn't deserve that. This was not just a good man dying for us as a martyr. This was God taking our place on the cross. And he said, Father, if there's any other way, I can't just embrace this. I'm holy. I can't just take the sins of the world on myself being holy and without any thought and just snap my fingers and do a faith act here, even though I love them enough to die for them. I'm going to do more than die for them. I'm going to become as if I was all their sins on that cross. If there's any other way, So if you just think he marched up there, died a quick, neat, little sanitized death, you're wrong. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's in agony. And he said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. Amen? Jesus said, my soul is sorrowful unto death. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And yet he's the most joyous man you'd ever meet. But he took the heartache and the heartbreak and the sin of the world upon himself. If there's any other way to redeem these people sitting here today in the world, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not what I will. He was obedient unto the death of the cross. He humbled himself and took on himself the form of a servant. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will be done. So if you think he didn't have an aversion to what was about to happen, you're very wrong. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Can you say amen? You're going to see in every portrait of Jesus on the cross, every model of Jesus on the cross, everything you hang on the wall, you're going to see Jesus with a loincloth on, near nudity. But in actuality, most of the people historically that were crucified absolutely with no clothes on. And there's no reason to believe that they would clothe him. And they hated him. They despised him. Anything they could do to demean him and humiliate him, they did it. Amen. He was made naked and laid bare that we might be clothed with his own robe of righteousness. It's the most incredible thing that you could ever imagine. Oh, my God in heaven. Amen. I cannot preach the gospel without passion. I cannot have neat little services. I cannot do that. Can you say amen? I cannot stop within a hair's breadth of 12 o'clock, amen, and fit the communion in around the praise and fit the offering in around the announcements and fit all of that in, and we're all done and over so we can run to the mall. Not this Jesus. Not the one that has done this. I just can't do that. I can't make it neat. I can't appeal to the carnality of the church, amen, that doesn't even see this as God's day. We see this giving God a portion of our day. Amen? Because he's worth so much more than a tip of the hat on Sunday morning. And if you're satisfied with that, this isn't the church for you. The church is all over Tampa that's got a neat little thing going on. Are you critical of them? Let God judge them. I'm just telling you, I'm not ashamed of what we're doing here this morning, nor who we're doing it for. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Not apologetic. Amen? You say, Brother, but I don't like to sit in church this long. Amen? Well, why don't you go to a church where you can just be herded in and herded out? Yeehaw! Head them up. Move them out. You can get on with your life until you get cancer. And suddenly you'll find time for God. The question is, if you haven't given him the time of day all that time, you reckon he'll have find time for you? In other words, I don't have time for that until something stops me dead in my tracks. But as long as I can walk and talk, move down the road, I want to get this thing on. Honey, that's got to stop if we want to see revival in America. That attitude is holding back revival more than all the atheists and the Muslims and all the rest of it combined. That attitude in church has stopped revival cold in America. That revival is not in the Philippines. I mean, that attitude is not in the Philippines where God is sending revival. It is not in South America. It is not in China, because real revival has come there. It exists in America. America is the next great mission field. Can you say, man, we need some people from China to come here and minister to us in America. And, oh, but we got big churches. I'm not talking about how big the church is. I'm talking about whether we love God with our passion or whether we do not. Can you say, man? Don't mistake what I'm saying this morning. This is not how many people attend the church. This is how many people take up their cross and follow Jesus. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise today. Hallelujah. I don't want a church like that. I don't care if there's 10,000 people in it. I don't want one like that, and I don't want to preach in it. You start looking at your watch at 5 to 12, forget it. I don't want to preach to you. What have I got to say to you when your mind's already on the mall? Amen? get me out of here early so I can tee off at 10 o'clock on the golf course. Just go to the golf course. Don't even play church. Don't even pretend to worship. Amen? Amen? Make no mistake, we're not under the Old Testament Sabbath, but the Christian church used that as a pattern. And they said, we're going to do something to set ourselves apart from this old world. Can you say amen? On the first day of the week, they said, we're going to sanctify this day. Jesus rose on this day. Hallelujah. We're going to come together on this day. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. We're going to declare this His day. Not because of legalism, but because of love. Everybody say, because of love. Hallelujah. 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 We're not under the legalism of the law. But we should be loving Jesus. If we're not loving Jesus, somebody's lowered the standard. Amen. You're in a church going to hold the standard. Praise God. Let us come up to the standard. Let's don't bring the standard down to us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Tony Evans was talking about one of his kids or a kid of a basketball player. I forget how the story went, but the story is so important, so true, that a young man that hadn't grown yet to really make those shots in that basketball standard in the apartment complex was wondering, because there's so many of these little guys out wanting to play basketball, can't we take the basketball standard and lower it down to where it's more easier for them to make a basket? Can't we take the, what do they call it? There's a word for it that I'm looking for. It's a common word, but I just can't get it right now. But there is an approved, yeah, the backboard and the hoop. There's an approved standard for that. I mean, there's an approved height for that. That is official. There's an official height for that. And you can lower it down to where you can make the baskets, you'll never make the NBA. Can you say, man? You're going to have to come up to the standard instead of bringing the standard down to you. Amen? Amen. You could go in and tell them, I never miss a shot. You've lowered the sucker 2 feet. Can you say amen? But when you get in there where the standard's where it's supposed to be, it's a whole different ball game. Amen. You can play touch football all day long, old hoss, when all you have to do is pull a rag, or they used to call it flag football. You remember flag football? You put two flags. I never did like that because I was physical when I was. I did stuff with passion. I asked my wife. I was passionate about Pamela. Amen. I played football with passion. I didn't want to yank. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all, I know some of y'all that went over your head, but some of us used to know what that was all about. Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, on your honeymoon? Come on now. Amen. If you didn't have passion, what'd you get married for? Anyway, moving right along. Amen. Maybe you have the gift of singleness. I do not. Amen. Paul did. I do not. So I got married early so that I wouldn't sin. Praise God. Amen. Say, what a wise man. 16 and 14. Insulated myself against temptation early on. Do not recommend that. I did a foolish thing. God did a wise thing. I had to come to Jesus, and she did too. But God did a wonderful thing. But listen to me. Amen. You could play that kind of football all day long where you go and yank out that flag. Amen. And then the guy stops. The whole game stops because that guy's considered tackled. When you yank the flag out, he's tackled. Well, I never did like to play that because I like to jump on people. I'm a little, but I'm wiry. Everybody say he's little, but he's wiry. Amen. I was the littlest guy, and I was the smallest defensive guard on the football team at Horace Mann Junior High School. Horace Mann was a great guy, by the way. Amen. He's a great educator and represented the black community, and I learned a lot about Horace Mann that I didn't know at Horace Mann. One of the few things I learned, but I like to play football. I didn't care for that flag stuff, out there playing flags so nobody gets hurt. Come on, let's jump on somebody. Amen. Let's make physical contact here. You could play flag football and be grabbing people all over the place and stopping them, but you get in the NFL. Amen. You don't play with no flag no more. Amen. That man is coming at you with that ball. You're going to have to grab him. You're going to trip him. You're going to have to bring him down. That's what I liked about it, grabbing him. I like my number being called. I like to hear Robert A. Venable, number 53, in on the tackle. I still remember my number. Robert A. Venable in on the tackle. Oh, that sounded good to me. I did it. I didn't even do it for team spirit. I did it for personal glory. Can you say amen? I really didn't care if we won or lose in the end result, just so I got my name called on the loudspeaker and all the cheerleaders heard it. Can you say amen? Robert A. Venable, that little guy over there, in on the tackle. Amen. I hit him low. A man like him, I wouldn't hit him high. Look at them shoulders. Look at that chest. How much do you weigh? No clue? How much you know? You know it's more than me, right? Yeah, okay. That's all I need to know. Man his size, I wouldn't hit him high. I wouldn't hit him high. There's no point in that. Amen. He's going to push me right back. Amen. I'm going to aim for those knees. I'm going to put my shoulder pad. I'm going to hit them knees, brother. Amen. Don't matter how big he is, if he goes tumbling over and they say, Robert A. Venable, in on the tackle. I learned something about God helping you too, because I had a big guy playing beside me. I was a right guard. He was a right tackle. And I know if I hit him low, he'll hit him high. Amen. I'm the little guy going to trip him up. He's a big guy going to hit him in the chest when I do. Amen. We had a thing going on. Robert A. Venable. Donald Dykes. Number 53, number 72, in on the tackle. Yeah, that's all I want to hear. We lost the game, but we got personal glory while losing. Hallelujah. Amen. What the Church of Jesus Christ has done is lowered the standard. We can all make the basket, but that don't mean we're good players. That just means the standard's been put so low anybody can do it. One thing Jesus never did. If you go to the Bible, you're going to get the official rule book. Can you say amen? If you go to this, you're going to get the official rules. If any man be my disciple, amen, it doesn't start with self-exaltation. It doesn't start with self-aggrandizement. It doesn't start with anything for personal glory or gain. Can you say amen? It doesn't start for self-serving. You know what it starts with? If any man be my disciple. Come on, this is the rule book right here. Can you say amen? Let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and let him come and follow me. Can you say amen? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord. This is the rule book. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You do nothing for vain glory. You do everything for the glory of God and the benefit and the blessing of His people. No matter how gifted you are and how anointed you are, all of the gifts and anointing is for the building up of the body of Christ. It involves a basin and a towel even when we're prophesying to people. We're serving them. Amen? Without that, we have superstar preachers and teachers, and I just couldn't ever see them condescending to do what the master did. But he said, I want you to see what I'm doing. I want you to emulate and imitate me. Be your followers of God as dear children and walk in love even as he walked. And that's how he walked. He eats this meal with them and he knows the cross is imminent. And he said, this is my body broken. He's washed their feet. He's loved. He's not telling them, he's showing them. Amen. And he said, my body's going to be broken. My blood's going to be poured out. It's all because of you. I want you to never forget the love that I'm going to show you. And I'm showing you now, and I'm going to show you. And a little bit further on after that, they sang a hymn and went out. Amen. And the next thing you know, Jesus has been beaten half to death. He's been tortured, and now he's hanging in agony for 6 long hours on the cross. Amen. And he says, I want you to know, amen, how much I love you. I want you to know it to the furthest extent, the furthest degree. Greater love than this hath no man than a man lay down his life. And I'm going to lay my life down. I who created heaven and earth, nothing was made that he did not make. Let us create the world means he was there in creation. In the beginning, it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was very God, and the Word that was with God and was God was made flesh, and that's Jesus. Everybody say, that's Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. He that was in with God in creation, participating in the creation of the universe and the world, is now stretching forth his arms to be nailed to a cross. He that could have called the angels, the warrior angels, and destroyed the world. Make no mistake about it, Caesar's Rome and authority didn't hold him to that cross. The guards posted, puny men posted at the bottom of it, didn't hold him on that cross. Can you say, man, the Sanhedrin's jurisdiction didn't hold him on the cross. The temple guards couldn't have kept him on the cross. In fact, they couldn't have took him to the cross if he hadn't submitted and humbled himself. Because when they came to get him, they said, "Are you he?" And he said, "I am." Amen. And he said it just like God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Who sent you?" Tell him, "I am sent you." Can you say amen? And the power and the authority of his declaration, it said, they fell back. He didn't need no sword from Peter. Can you say amen? They fell back. So if you think he was a victim of somebody, honey, he died for your sin. He died for mine. Our sins put him on the cross, and his love for us kept him on the cross and held him to it. So I can't preach without passion. I can't pastor without passion. I can't pander to the carnal Christianity today that wants it neat and sweet and go your way. I can't preach without challenging Christians to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow him. Every person in this room would be a missionary if we did that. And you don't even have to go to a foreign land. Wherever we went, people would see the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. I didn't know anybody was even looking when I was on the job for that 12 years. Till I left. 5 pay grades, I was at pay grade 1 after 12 years because I refused every opportunity for advancement. They used to scratch their heads because they didn't understand the kingdom. Because I was a pastor, a preacher. I could have more money, but I wouldn't be in God's house. Do you know I was doing that before I was a pastor, a preacher? Same thing, but in the kingdom first. But I just couldn't now that I'm behind the pulpit. So I said, forget that. God will make a way. God made a way. Did that for 12 years. So I was nobody special. I wasn't nobody special. I saw 5 plant managers come and go in 12 years. My job was way more secure. You can get by without a boss, but you can't get by without somebody to do the work. Can you say, man? You got to keep somebody to do the work. So bosses' jobs were, yeah, they were, you know, dime a dozen. They were the most, you know, They held them responsible for everything, so they nailed them. But I mean, somebody had to get in and get the product out. And I knew how to do it because God blessed me, praise God. He just blessed me. Into my 60s, he blessed me to get her done, praise God. Amen, amen. Listen to me, amen. The last day, I couldn't give a big 2-week notice because it all caught up with me. I went into HR and said, I gotta quit Friday, amen, because they're gonna take my money away from me if I work anymore, and I don't wanna be working here for nothing. I mean, I'm dedicated, but I ain't that dedicated. Can you say amen? Amen. You know what I'm saying? I'd have worked for nothing. I'd have made a check there, and it took the check away from me. So that's nothing. Nothing from nothing? Nothing. And it's too hard here to work. It's hard to work for something, let alone nothing. Amen. You know what they did? Something they hadn't done in the history of the plant. You know what they did? I'm not saying this to brag. I'm telling you, I didn't know it was going to happen. You could have bowled me over. They sent to Publix and got a big bar cake. And in the middle of a production day, machine spinning, 90 a minute, 90 gallons a minute, $4 a gallon, figure it up, spinning. They pull the plug on everything in the whole plant, shut it down. And for an hour, we drank coffee and had cake. And it wasn't lunchtime either. It was just, they just shut it down. And they honored my testimony. I had no idea. I felt like another brick in the wall. Amen. All in all, another brick in the wall. But God did something. God did something. God did something. Couldn't make of myself a reputation, didn't have one. Can you say amen? But God did something. Let me tell you what God does and how He does it. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ the Lord, who made of Himself no reputation, but humbled Himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name that is named, of things in heaven and earth and beneath the earth, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that He is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! 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 Aren't you glad that He humbled Himself? I have preached all my life the way up with God is down. Amen? If you're invited to a wedding, you're on the guest list, and they're seating people accordingly. Do not, James said, walk down front because you think you're a hot shot. And sit down in the front row and say, I have arrived. There's no way I could sit any further back than this. I have surveyed this crowd, and I can tell you they all need to be back there. But I need to be right up here. Amen? Lest the host of the wedding come and say, excuse me, pardon me, but that seat is taken. Your seat's right here. You know how embarrassing that would be to have to get up from the front seat and go back here and sit down in the back seat where all the backsliders are? I love you, dinner. I love you, girl. Amen. But you know what the Bible said to do? The Bible said to come in humility. I don't care how anointed you are, who you think you are. Amen. If you think you're somebody, then act like Jesus. Can you say, if you want to be somebody, start acting like Jesus. Everybody say, if you want to be somebody, start acting like Jesus. Can you say amen? Say, go sit down in the back row. And if the host thinks that you deserve more, he will come and say, come and follow me. Amen. Jesus sat down in the back, humbled Himself, made of Himself no reputation. Amen. But when God saw that, He said, that's what I'm looking for. Can you say amen? God exalted Him and gave Him a name above every name that is named, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things beneath the earth. Listen, every preacher of the gospel needs to understand being anointed just means that you're a bell sheep with responsibility. Can you say amen? Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And the ministry is to say, follow me as I follow Christ. And following Christ means His example. Not the example of the great preacher across town that we're so impressed with and would like to be like, but the man who said, this is what God wants. Can you say amen? This is what He wants. This is what He wants. So I realized that my witness and testimony through being meek and humble and honoring those who had authority over me had had an impact for Christ. I didn't take that as a personal badge. I took that someone saw His character in me. In spite of me, somehow Jesus shined through. Praise God. And I left the fragrance of Him. Amen. And God let me know that was taking place. He's so precious. He's so wonderful. I love Him so much. I had been that close to blowing my stack. One time I kicked over two big gray tubs. They're just big gray tubs you put the bad bottles in. And it just got to me so bad, so frustrated, agitated. I kicked that one over. I Bruce Lee'd them suckers. Amen. And there was another sitting there, another I'm kicking that one over too. I'm going to kick him. I kicked that one over. And a guy come up and said, Rev, you all right? I said, I'm all right now. I mean, you can pick them right back up. I didn't damage any company property, but I kicked them over. It's better to kick over them than to kick somebody. Can you say amen? I call that victory. Praise God. Amen. Back in the day, it was different. Thank God for sanctification. Then I apologized for kicking over the tubs. And they said, well, you didn't hurt them tubs. You're only human. I said, but I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to lose it like that. I said, everybody loses it around here. Oh, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I haven't kicked over anything in church yet on purpose. Knocked over a few plants when I ran and shouted, but other than that, God has been good to me. But I've been so close to just, you know, but I'm so glad that by the grace of God, made it through those years and left a testimony to people who need to know that Christianity is not just standing up before people, you know, just what they've seen. So many people are turned off for what they've seen, because they haven't seen what Jesus is like. And they need to see that out of ministry more than anything they hear from a pulpit. Be you followers of God as dear children, and follow me as I follow Jesus. Paul's primary ministry to the church was to lead by example. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing when he condescended and said, I'm going to show you the love that I've talked to you about. I'm going to show you by washing your feet. I'm going to show you by having this meal with you. And then I'm going to perfect that demonstration of love, because I'm going to lay my life down and let them nail me to the tree. I want to capture your hearts. I want you to love me with all that you are and all that you have. And so the Bible said the reason we forgive one another, see, you got to love God for this to work. If God, for Jesus' sake, has forgiven you, and that's the only reason you could ever be forgiven of anything, ye ought owe to everybody else without exception. I owe it to whoever's hurt me, harmed me, to forgive them, because God forgave me for Jesus' sake. And I can't hold that back from others. Freely I've received, freely I give. That's one thing people need to understand. In ministry, you can't buy blessings. Amen. You know why? They're bought and paid for.
That's right.
At the cross. Every Amen. Blessing of God. Come on, if you were a millionaire, you couldn't buy healing. Right. Healing is purchased through the stripes of Jesus Amen. On that tree. Yes. Can you say, man? You can't buy. Listen, you can give and operate a law of God of giving and receiving, but you can't purchase blessing. Amen. There's no $50 blessing for the lady that can put $50 in. Amen. The lady that has the widow woman couldn't have got in on that, but she couldn't have bought the blessing. She didn't have the money to buy the blessing. But Jesus said she'd give more than anybody. God is a God of equity and justice. He don't operate like man does. Can you say amen? Thank God he's a righteous God. If you give him your best, it'll be enough. Everybody say it'll be enough. Praise God. Hallelujah. God will bless it. Little boy had a poor boy's lunch. A few sardines and a little piece of bread. But he gave his best to Jesus. Jesus said, I can bless that. Hallelujah. He broke it, blessed it, and fed thousands with it. Praise God. We've always had a poor boy's lunch church. But it's never stayed within the humble walls of our setting. Wherever we ever were, the gospel got out of these walls because God took it out. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good today. Are you ready for Holy Communion? Amen. Amen. Brethren, would you come and serve us today? Brother, would you let it play? There's a table called the Table of Grace. And every one of us come to that table, and we're coming to it again today. Hallelujah. I want your hearts to melt again. I want you to fall in love with Jesus again. I want the focus on Him to absolutely push out all the other things that distract us this morning, so God can encourage you and give you courage in your heart. Hallelujah. How many would like to fall into deep, passionate love with Christ?